Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So what would the cost of intervention in the civil war in Syria be? The dollar cost. You'll remember Pentagon officials in describing the cost of the war in Iraq in the lead up to 2003 suggested it might pay for itself. That isn't exactly how it worked out, of course. And perhaps as a warning for policymakers eager to do something to stop the carnage in Syria, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, has sent a letter to the Senate Armed Services Committee. It details five possible military courses of action, including training, advising, and assisting rebel fighters, establishing a no-fly zone, conducting limited standoff strikes in Syria, creating buffer zones to protect certain areas of the country, and taking control of Bashar al-Assad's chemical weapons stockpile. General Dempsey gives a dollar estimate to each course of action, and there is no suggestion that this might be done on the cheap or in a short period of time. Joining us now is Colonel Peter Mansour, professor of military history at Ohio State University, former executive officer for General David Petraeus, who spent 26 years in the U.S. Army. Peter Mansour, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back on, John.
So how costly is this as you look at General Dempsey's letter? And we're going to hear more about this over the next couple of days and weeks.
Well, the dollar costs range from $500 million for a train and assist effort, that's per year, to perhaps up to $1 billion a month for a more kinetic option, such as establishing a no-fly zone over Syria. But the more important costs are the human costs and the opportunity costs of what else we could be doing with our military in terms of re-energizing it after the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have wound down.
Are the numbers here the reality, or is this a tonal shift in the Pentagon? I remember General Colin Powell saying, you break it, you buy it, referring to Iraq. This sounds more like it's already broken. If we're going to buy it, this is what it's going to cost. Look at these numbers. Very, very explicit, very, very sobering.
Again, the dollar cost figures are sobering, but even more sobering is the fact that if we get involved, we're likely to be involved for many, many years to come. This is a conflict that had we done something early on, we might have prevented a civil war from breaking out. But now that one is going full bore, it's going to take a long time to resolve. I think we've saw that in Bosnia, and we're seeing it in Iraq as well.
Is the real message from General Dempsey here, don't do this, stay away, wave it off?
I think his real message is not necessarily that. It's that if you think if the administration thinks that this is an important enough national security goal to stabilize Syria in some manner, don't go in with your eyes closed thinking it's going to be cheap and easy. It's going to be hard, it's going to be long, and it's going to be expensive.
Now, I would have thought, and you have a lot of experience with General David Petraeus and the doctrine of counterinsurgency, I would have thought that given the unpopularity of Bashar al-Assad, the apparent enthusiasm that Syrian civilians have for some sort of international involvement in the civil war, that this would really be an opportunity for advancing counterinsurgency doctrine in Syria and making a real impact. Sounds like General Dempsey wants no part of it.
Well, Assad's only unpopular with a percentage of the population. It could be a majority, but it still is not everyone. His Alawite sect supports him, and certain other groups support him as well. So, and the great majority of the civilians, as in any counterinsurgency conflict, are waiting on the sideline, seeing who's going to prevail. And so this is not a clear-cut case where if you could just give him a shove, he'll fall from power, as was the case in, say, Libya with Gaddafi. This is much more serious. And I think a large counterinsurgency type effort, as we saw in Iraq or Afghanistan, is certainly not in the cards. What is more likely would be that we energize some part of the opposition to start an insurgency against Assad and try to topple him that way. But again, that could take years, if not decades.
You know, forgive me for trying to cast General Dempsey as some sort of, you know, wise Yoda here. Not that he's not wise. So he certainly doesn't look like Yoda. But I'm wondering if you read between the lines here, another message is, look, the money we could have spent in Syria to stop this carnage, we already spent in lives, in dollars, and in support of the American people and the armed services, for that matter, in Iraq and Afghanistan. We don't have any room left anymore. Is that a message here?
I think he's saying, look at what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, and don't go in saying this is going to be just a one-shot deal. We'll destroy some Syrian artillery and aircraft and call it a day. That this is going to, if we get involved in a military sense, we are getting involved in a war. And as we saw in the wars after 9/11, they can take a long time to resolve. So I think he's not. I think he believes the military could do it if ordered to, but he wants to make sure that the American people and their political representatives understand what's at stake if they decide to go down that road.
In your reading of history, looks too much like Lebanon to get involved for the Pentagon at this juncture?
You know, my reading is that there is very little pragmatic secular opposition to support. And I really don't know, I don't think anyone really knows enough about the opposition to say there's enough of them that we can arm, train, equip, and then support with perhaps air power and creating a buffer zone in the north and south. If that's possible, we may be able to make a go of it against Bashar al-Assad, his forces, their Russian and Iranian supporters, and, of course, Hezbollah. But you're also going to have to, at the same time, fight the other part of the opposition that is jihadist in character and is extremist. And you certainly don't want to empower them and allow them to create a safe haven in a portion of Syria. So you're going to have to find a secular, pragmatic part of the opposition and make it powerful enough to fight two enemies. It's very, very difficult.
Peter Mansour is professor of military history at Ohio State University. He previously served as executive officer to General David Petraeus from 2007 to 2008. Peter Mansour, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.